Hey, this is Stelly Efti.
And this is Heaton Shaw.
And in today's episode of the Startup Chat, we're going to talk about how to communicate with your customers during crisis.
I think we like talking about more than just sales and marketing.
We just want to bullshit and chat about business and life. And hopefully, while we're doing that, provide a lot of value to people.
The world's best business podcast.
Oh, shit. We got it.
For people trying to get shit done.
Yeah. We don't want to give you feedback that's bullshit.
Yeah, we want you to do your best.
So this could be downtime. Your app is down. Your app is crashing. You have a massive bug. There's some security error, right? And something was exposed. Some fucking crisis that impacts all your customers. And we're talking major event, not just a minor thing. These things happen in companies. They probably will happen in your company sooner or later. So learning how to communicate in those moments of crisis can make a massive difference. And I wanted to chat with you about this. One, it's because I think it's super valuable and not really talked about that much. But two, because we had to go through this shit recently.
What happened?
Yeah, well, what happened is that one of the technology providers that we're using to power the telephony aspect of our app had major downtime. And that basically affected a massive amount of our customers, right? And it's even worse than when we fuck up because somebody else fucks up that we are relying on. And we're not in control of fixing this issue, right? We are at the mercy and the competency of that technology provider. And if they get their shit together and they do a great job, cool. If they do a bad job, we're just sitting here and we cannot fix it ourselves. So we're waiting for somebody else. We're relying on somebody else, which is just a shitty situation to be in. But it happens. You know, it's very rare as a technology business, as you grow, to be completely independent from anything. Even the cloud, somewhere you're hosting things, and even, you know, big cloud providers have issues. There's all kinds of problems that can arise in today's technology. So we had to go through this recently, which, you know, brings up the point. It was funny from two perspectives. One is observing how that technology provider was communicating to us, right? And let's just say we were not happy, and I'm going to use them as a bad example of how not to do this, and then how we were trying to communicate to our customers, right? And at least trying to do the best. And then I'm sure you've gone through lots of these examples yourself as an advisor with your own company. So just want to chit-chat and share some of like the do's and don'ts when you have a crisis. How do you deal with this?
I'll kick off with one. There's thought around this, which is the interesting thing that companies run into when they have crisis like this is one, it's rare. So the first time you have it, even the second time, even the third time, even the fourth time, you might not really have a process for it until you get really good at managing it. But ideally, you don't have that many, right? This is a bad thing.
Yeah.
It's not a good thing. It impacts customers, service outages, things like that. And so I'm going to talk about a time when actually we had a ton of these at Crazy Egg. So Crazy Egg was built in Ruby on Rails when Ruby on Rails was really early. And what we had to do is we had to go fetch a ton of data to be able to pull up a heat map for your website and all the click data. And the technology we're using, Ruby on Rails, wasn't what you call multi-threaded. What that means is that you could only run a single process. And this is a technical stuff, but it's interesting. You can only run a single process. So that made it very challenging for us to actually keep certain parts of the site up because of what we were doing. And this all sounds silly today if you're an engineer listening to this, because these problems are solved now for the most part. So we had this thing called a flash loader that would load, that would be in between, you know, when people clicked on a button to view their report and could view the report. And there's all kinds of other issues because, again, Ruby on Rails was very nascent and we were using it, and we were using it on purpose for a bunch of other advantages we got because of it. And it was a hot thing and it was easier to find some engineers and this and that and the other. So the site would go down. And we were also doing some challenging things, and we had a free product at the time. And so our scale was also pretty massive. Even Twitter, a couple years later, had lots of issues with Ruby on Rails and having to hit scale. And so, because we were tracking every click on a website, and these things weren't trivial at the time. And at that time, even Amazon Web Services was very early, and a lot of the things that they have today didn't exist. So our site would go down like regularly. The tracking on people's websites, thankfully, wouldn't go down, but our website would go down, meaning you couldn't look at your reports and stuff like that. So we had, in the beginning, we had an error message, or we would just take down the site, and there was this like little like mini figures, and there's a picture, so our site's down, whatever, and there's this picture with mini figures running around circuit boards trying to fix a problem, and that was what we had. So one thing I would say is, when it's down, you can use humor, but not in your copy necessarily, unless it's very good. But we used an image, right? That wasn't humor, but it was like cute, right? Mm. And then one day the site just kept going down so much and we couldn't do anything about it. We had to like, it took work from the engineers to keep it up. And again, some of this sounds silly because sites, this doesn't happen to sites anymore like it used to. And so then one of the engineers is like, he's actually a kind of like a game designer and had built Mac games back in the day. He's a lead engineer. And we basically built an egg drop game that only showed up when we went down. And so we would drop eggs on people. You could drop eggs on people's heads and it was a game. And these were people that looked like they were in suits and there's some funny stuff around it. But at the end of the day, what I want to say about this is you want to make the experience, especially if it happens a lot, which usually it doesn't, very engaging, but really in a way, and I know this is going to sound bad, but like almost distracting. And that's if you actually have your site down and you can't do anything about it. And that's not about communication, but it's about lightening the load of the problem without getting to the point of like just being stupid or silly, right? And we made it a game because it kept going down. Now, I use that strategy every time when things happen that are a crisis in my messaging. And what I mean by that is don't be so dry and say, oh, it's down and it's not working and it's this provider and blah, 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 right? Instead, just be human about it and start by actually talking about like, we don't expect this to happen, right? We use a provider. They happen to be down. I'm sure they're working diligently to solve their problem, and we will keep you updated regularly about this. And by the way, check out this funny thing while you wait. Yeah. You know? Yeah. And the reason for that is like, I see a lot of people lying about it. I see a lot of people dry about it, right? And I see, and lying meaning like, I don't mean lying, but they're making promises they can't keep.
Yeah.
Don't tell someone it's going to be up in an hour if it ain't going to be up in an hour.
Oh, shit. Don't do that.
Right?
Yeah.
So anyways, those are my little rants
This is super good. And I think I can just like, I can just continue on that thread because yes, please don't lie and make promises because you feel the pressure, right? Don't be like, oh, I'm sure that in the next hour it's going to be done.
Don't be hopeful, right?
A crisis is not a time to be making promises you don't know that you can keep. So don't be telling people it's going to be, we're fixing it, it's going to be fixed soon. Fix it and then tell people it's fixed. Yeah, that's one. The other one is the dry one, the corporate one. This is the one I see the most, which is like, motherfucker, don't write me an email or talk to me as if you are like a massive bank and like a team of 1,000 lawyers went through that email to make it, you know, as protective as possible. Like, just talk to me like a human being. So don't say things like, you know, we apologize for any inconvenience. Like, no, just say we're sorry. Just say, like, I literally, like in my quote unquote CEO email to everybody, I emailed all our customers that were impacted by this from my personal email. And I literally had the word in there, this sucked, right? Because that's what I thought. And that's what our customers thought. And that's the
I love it.
That's the words people would use talking to me. And that's where the words I use talking to them. So when I send an email, I'm not going to write, I apologize for any inconvenience this might have caused. Because I don't speak like that, right? That's bullshit. Like, that's how a lawyer writes something. I want to be real. Like, this sucked. I'm sorry. Now, here's what's going to happen next. And so just using honest language, being real about it is, I think, makes a big difference. I think the one big message that I'll give is that the natural tendency when things are going bad is that people want to hide, right? You don't want to, your site goes down and you start getting incoming emails. You don't want to take those. You know what those calls are about, right? And especially if you don't have anything smart to say, like, this is downtime, it's a technology provider, and we're currently in communication with them. We'll keep you up to date. Here's a page you can subscribe to get an SMS once site is up. I'll let you know once we know more. But right now, I can ping that technology provider and wait to learn more, you know, and help you with any kind of workarounds. But I cannot solve the problem this very moment myself. When you've said this 10 times and the 11th call is coming in, you don't want to pick up. Like, just, it's the most natural thing in the world. You just want to hide. right? Because you don't want to keep saying, I cannot fix this problem, or listen to people that are upset or angry. But the most important thing is to fight that urge. I find when there's a crisis, one of the most powerful things you can do is to just show up, be available, you know? Don't hide behind your desk, behind an email, behind a status page. Just be available. Even if all you can tell people is, I get it, you're right, this sucks, and here is it. I'm giving you your 2 minutes to scream at me so you feel better. Even that can make a big difference. Like, people truly appreciate that. What they don't appreciate is when things are down or there's some kind of a crisis and they're trying to reach you to figure out what is going on and they can't. You're not responding to the support ticket they sent, the email they sent. You're not responding on social media, or you're responding with some super corporate, thank you, we are aware of that issue, we're currently diligently working on a solution, stay tuned. Like, just being there, being real and being honest can make a big difference to people, because most companies aren't. Most companies hide, they run, they don't pick up the phone, they don't answer the emails because, it sucks. It sucks to be in a crisis. It sucks to let down customers, and you don't want to hear the 20th person complaining about the same thing. So show up. It doesn't matter how much it sucks. It's not about you. It's about your customers, and it helps them just to even be able to vent or to hear that you are there. Even if you're just telling them something they already read on your status page, that you're currently working on the problem or something, even just knowing that somebody's responding to their issues in email or on the phone or whatever format they use can make a big difference. So don't hide. Don't use corporate speak. Tell people what happened once you know. Tell people the problem is fixed once it's truly fixed. So don't lie. Just like Heaton just said, don't make promises you can't keep. And in crisis, you're going to be tempted to make promises that you're not fully in control of. Even if it's an issue that you've caused and your engineering team is like, we know what the problem is. We're currently in the process of fixing it. This should take 30 minutes. Please don't reach out to your customers and tell them the problem is going to be fixed in 30 minutes.
Yeah, my advice on that is actually, don't ever give them a timeline unless you're 100% sure you can meet it, which essentially means don't tell them a timeline until it's solved.
Until it's solved. That's it. Yes.
Don't tell them the worst there.
Yeah. Because it's worse, like when there's a crisis and you tell me it's fixed in 30 minutes and then in 30 minutes it's not. Oh my God. Like, people are going to lose their mind over this, right? Because you're letting them down, and now they feel like you're lying.
I think
to them.
Terminology is they lose their shit.
They lose their shit. Right? Thank you for helping me here.
They literally lose their shit, and it's your fault because you told them something. You told them a promise that you couldn't keep. Pretty
which
simple.
Which is people's translation of this is, these assholes, they're not just, their software is not just not working, but they're also lying to me.
Yeah.
They told me 30 minutes ago, it's going to be done in 30 minutes. I turned around and told my team, 30 minutes, take a break. When you come back, it's done. And now we're all sitting here and I don't know what to say again, and I'm embarrassed. And it's all because you lied. People lose their shit. Don't do that. Only give a timeline. You know, only tell them when it's fixed that it's fixed. You can tell them you're working on it, but don't give a timeline, really. Like, and this is something companies, again, get wrong all the time, because it's so hard not to give a timeline. You really want to give a timeline.
No, and there's a way to say this, right? You say, we don't know, but people are actively working on solving this problem right now. That's why I'm getting on the phone with you, or that's why I'm emailing you, or that's why I'm responding to you, because I am confident this problem will get solved because people are working on it, but I cannot tell you a timeline.
Right. That's like, the way to do it.
And communicate what happened. That's another thing I would add. If you have this urge to tell them a timeline, instead, tell them what happened. Whatever you know. I don't mean like tell them everything if you can't yet, but just tell them what happened. Like, just like in your case, a provider we are using, that's been consistent so far, the whole time, had an outage. And it's affecting us. Right? And we are in communication with them to do our best to figure out when this will get resolved and get it resolved. But at the current moment, there is nothing we can do to solve this problem. Also, I know this sounds weird. Do not apologize.
Ooh, tell me more.
It doesn't help you to apologize, because that means you're admitting you did something wrong. Only apologize if you truly believe you did something wrong. I mean, this is a life lesson.
This is a life.
Think about it.
Yeah.
Right? Like, don't apologize, because the second you apologize, you're admitting fault You're admitting guilt. You're admitting that you did something wrong. And I'm not saying that to be mean. I'm saying that because, or like, you know, to hide anything, you know, find language that is not apologetic, but yet it's empathetic. You don't, the easiest thing to do is apologize to be empathetic. I'm sorry this is happening. I don't give a crap that you're sorry, dude. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like, it doesn't, it turns the whole thing negative, right?
Yeah.
So you just be factual and just say, obviously, we don't expect things like this to happen. We understand how much of an impact this is having on your job right now, right? And
yeah.
We are doing everything we can to understand what's going on and make changes. We plan on keeping you updated every hour. If you need to update them every hour, just say, we don't know anything yet. We don't know anything yet. You know what I mean? Whatever
yep,
it is.
Yep.
But don't apologize. Apologies. And I'm not one who never apologizes. I'm not saying that. I'm not one of those people. What I'm saying is only apologize if you're willing to admit fault and blame. And don't be lazy and use it as a way out, because it actually pisses people off.
Yes, it does. I love that. Don't be apologetic. Be empathetic. I think that's the money quote here.
Yeah.
That's powerful shit.
Yeah.
Yes. Okay. So the other thing, I think, and we've talked about the value of this, which is, you know, once you resolve the problem, the work is not done, right? In crisis mode, you have to over-communicate. So now you solve the issue, you let them know, but then you have to do a post-mortem and let them know what exactly happened in detail for those that want to know.
Oh, yeah.
How it happened, what the root cause was, how you resolved it, and then what you're planning to do to make sure this doesn't happen again, right?
And this is just good hygiene.
Yeah.
If something bad happens, even if, like, you should definitely share this with the customers, but you have to do this internally anyways.
Yes.
Because if you can't prevent problems like this or have solutions, guess what? It's going to happen again.
It's going to happen again. And you know, the other thing about this is that people, like, the moment you have a crisis and you're going through them, it is both a risky situation. You might lose customers. You might build a bad reputation. There's like lots of potential loss and risk there, but it's equally an opportune time. You can build your brand. You can build by standing out and doing things differently and better than the customer would expect in a crisis, you can actually turn the moment around. And the problem is that a crisis will shake up somebody's trust in you, right? How much can I truly trust the software provider? How much truly can I trust that this company has their shit together? How much truly can I rely my business on using their software? Like, people are going to be shook by a crisis, and they're going to be thinking about, like, how much they can truly trust you moving forward. So it's incredibly important to do the things necessary to maintain trust or build trust. And one thing is transparency and over-communicating. You showed up when the problem was there. You were picking up the phone. You were answering the support tickets. You were communicating and over-communicating. And then when it's done, you're not just like, it's done, problem fixed, and you'll never hear us talk about this again. We'll just pretend this never happened. No, you go beyond what was expected and you shoot them an email and you provide an in-depth, transparent postmortem that tells them what happened, why it happened, how you fixed it, and what you're doing to prevent this from happening moving forward. Now, I remember one time, like, this is actually, I just remembered this. I think in the very first year it closed with some hiccup. I don't even remember what it was. It was not even something big, but it was something that touched a good amount of our, like, bigger customers. And what we did is actually, because back in the day, that the number of customers and the number of bigger customers we had was, you know, I don't know, it was a few hundred. And we spent a week after that happened and we fixed it, calling every single one of the bigger customers and kind of, again, saying, hey, you know, this is what happened. We sent you an email about it. How do you feel about it? How's the team? How did you manage through that? I think it was like a 40-minute period where we had some issues. And then when people were really upset, we would allow them to vent and we would take time to listen and we would just turn it around. And maybe sometimes they would tell us other things they didn't like, and we would, like, try to find solutions and fix things and, like, make the, like, use this as an opportunity to understand them better and make sure that we really invest in them the right way. But then there were a lot of our customers that were like, you guys are awesome. I love the fucking product. You know, yes, it sucked, but the way you handled it was really amazing. And then we used all of these conversations, every single call that was positive, we pitched them on an annual contract. Believe it or not, we used a crisis to upsell them on prepaying for a whole year. And the pitch was very simple. It was like, hey, you know, we're so appreciative of your business. You can have an idea of what the relationship with somebody will be in the partnership between a vendor and a customer. It, you know, when times are good, everything is always good. But a crisis is really a great opportunity to see what kind of a quality of relationship we have. You've been an amazing customer during this time. We tried to do anything and everything to go beyond bought to show you that, you know, your business really means a lot to us and we want to invest in this relationship long term. And you know what we want to do? I want to offer you an additional discount. You know, all that we would have to do is for you guys, instead of paying month by month, to make a prepayment, we'll be able to give you, you know, a good amount of savings back. And also, you know, this is another way of us investing in the relationship and showing them that we're in it for the long term. It's a way for you to show us that you're really in it for the long term. And people were laughing at me and going, I can't believe that you're asking me to do this. And then they would go on and do it, right? So I would not say do this at all times and in all circumstances, all depends. But I just want to open people's minds that a crisis can be really an opportunity to learn, to grow, to build a reputation that you're a company that can be trusted, that's transparent, that fixes whenever they fuck up something, they take responsibility and they fix it. Or is a crisis can be a time where you run and you hide and you make excuses and you under-communicate. And that's the moment where people decide that they're going to leave you, they hate you, and they're going to tell everybody else to never use your software, right? It can be either or, and it's up to you what it is. And we tried to do our best with our customers, but looking at the vendor that we had, honestly, no, they basically did a very poor job communicating with us, and they were not honest in the hindsight. Even like funny things, I'll give you a quick example of this before we wrap this up. But the reason why you should not lie, other than that it's the ethical, you want to be an ethical person, yada yada yada, all for all the like ethical reasons. The reason you don't want to lie is that a lie just creates so many more problems than the truth. It really is. Mm. And here's the problem, right? So we have this vendor and they're giving us a fucking excuse. They're pointing the finger at somebody else being at fault here. And I'm pretty certain, like our team is pretty certain that that's not true. That is not what happened. We have a pretty good idea what happened and we think it's completely their fault. And it's even like an embarrassing fault. And I call the founder and I go, hey, I read the postmortem. You're explaining that this and the other happened. Are you really sure that is what happened? He's like, absolutely not our fault, da-da-da-da, this and this. I'm like, okay, help me. How did you communicate that with that other technology provider? What has been the back and forth communication? He's like, well, you know, when that happened, we sent them an email and they sent us an email back and da-da. And he's explaining to me how they are going back and forth in email and that provider, I asked literally, did that provider admit fault? Are they in agreement with you that that's what happened? He's like, yes, but they're still trying to figure out this and that, but they said that it is all that. And you know what my simple ask was at the end of that conversation? I was like, dude, I'm going to be honest with you. I have a really, like, I want to believe you and I want to trust in this relationship. But right now I'm really shook and I have a difficult time believing this. But since all this happened and since you have an email thread documenting this, can you do me a favor? Just click forward on that email thread so I can see it. It's just going to make me feel much better and it's going to help rebuild the trust in us. That should be fairly simple for you, right? Can you do that while I'm on the phone? And you know what the response was? I'm not in front of my computer and I need to see where that email thread is. And he was